cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. In my ears, it sounds like an invitation. God is inviting us into another way.
Everybody, Doc Brian here, and welcome to Doc Talks, where we talk about people's troubles, trials, tribulations, and hopefully triumphs in life. Today, we're recording in LifeWord Studios in Conway, Arkansas, broadcasting in over 160 languages to 127 countries with a potential listening audience of 2 billion people. You can find all of our content at lifeword.org. That's lifeword.org. Today, I have a special guest with us, and I just love this guy to death, and I know that y'all are going to appreciate him too today, but we have Robert Channing with us today, and he's a licensed professional counselor, and so that's what we need, a professional here.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So tell us a little
tall order, man.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into the profession that you are doing.
Well, first of all, Brian, I just want to say thank you for having me on your show. That really means a lot to me, and I'm super humbled. I would just say that there is a part of me that has always known that I was made to be a helper. And so when I went into college, I went to Harding University, and I thought like I would get into ministry, youth ministry to be it exact. And so, but the more that I spent time with that, I realized like I really enjoy working one-on-one with people. And so that's how I entered into a counseling program. So my background is in marriage and family therapy, and I've been doing this for 22 years now, crazy enough.
Are you old enough to have been doing this for 22 years?
I don't look like I am, but I am, in fact, old enough.
Yeah. So when we talked about you being on the show today, it was kind of prompted by a sermon that I heard of a pastor. Now, first, let me say, as a pastor, I think we have to be very careful when we get off into subjects that we may not be the best at. And I'm a personal believer that pastors shouldn't do counseling unless they're qualified in some way, if they've had particular training. But all of that said, there is this movement amongst some churches that when we look at passages of Scripture, like 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, where it says, be anxious in nothing, that there is this thought that anxiety is a sin. Now, so what I want us to look at here just very briefly is the types of anxiety that we may have that may not necessarily be something that we are causing.
Sure. So Brian, I feel like right out the gate, what we need to talk about is like our design. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. And if we go back to the garden, we were the creation that God said, and it is very good. And so God made us with a wide range of emotions. Our emotions is part of our humanity, what makes us up. And so from happiness to sadness to anger, to just excitement and joy, even anxiety. Like God pronounces us as his image bearers to be very good. And so when we come to this conversation, like, is it wrong to be anxious? Is it wrong to have depression? You know, like, When we ask that question, it's almost like we're opening the door for shame to enter into the conversation as well. I think about passages like that sound emphatic. They sound like a command. And so when we read our Bibles, you know, if we want to command, it's going to set us up to just kind of enter into this transactional relationship with God where it's really all about our performance. Mm-hmm. But really, it's really about a relationship, and it is about a love story that's been told in the Bible from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation. God's telling a love story, and he is trying to woo us to himself. And so my other thought is, as we get into this, is like when the scripture says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you, that sounds emphatic. That sounds like a command, something that we ought to do. But really, in my ears, it sounds like an invitation. Like God is inviting us into another way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I feel like that a lot of times we take scripture too literally, and we've got to look at the full context of what is being said there. And I think that, and you said, you know, shame, and there's a lot of guilt and shame within these type of things when we look at something as being so conclusive. Of course, we know that the remedy for guilt and shame is confession. And so when we have this conversation about anxiety and casting all of our anxiety upon him, I really begin to question, what is anxiety? So could you give us a definition, if you will, of what you would define anxiety as being?
Well, yeah, I think if you slice it a little thinner, like anxiety is rooted in fear. And so I would say anxiety is like fear that is persistent, fear that is driving and motivating your life. When fear is the driver of your life, you're living in a place of anxiety. You know, but we have to also remember, like, fear is also one of those core emotions that we're made with. Like, can you imagine a human experience where there was no fear? Mm. You know, the Bible does, however, say a lot about do not be afraid. Mm. Like 365 times there are passages that talk about not being afraid. And yet fear is hardwired into our existence. It's a primal instinct that we have. And it just reminds me, I was reflecting on that this morning, like, as a dad, I can tell a story really fast about a time when my family was at an amusement park. And my son at the time was probably 5 or 6, and I lost him. Mm-hmm. I just straight up lost him. He slipped out of the play area that he was playing in, and I didn't see him, and he left. And so I went looking for him once I realized he was missing. And by the grace of God, like a kind gentleman found him and was bringing him back. And so he was missing from my life for about 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, fear just instinctively rose up in me. I would say in the weeks and months that followed, the fear of losing my kids kind of took a hold of me, and I went a little crazy. I think in that moment, I would have microchipped my kids if I possibly could, but I did the next best thing, and I got a GPS tracker to put on all of their backpacks. You know, just the thought of like losing my kids again was overwhelming. I think that's a part of our human experience in life. And I think it would be like unkind. Mm. If someone had told me at that point in time, you are reacting in your sin. You are not trusting in God enough. You know, I think it would have been way more effective, you know, if someone had approached me and said, hey, can we talk about this? Can we explore what it is that has you so spun up right now that you're trying to like control and arrange for your kids' safety? We can get into the weeds about that, but.
Well, I think we would both agree, and from what you've just said, that there is a healthy level of fear and anxiety. So, sure. So we can't be conclusive in saying that every anxiety or every fear is sin or lack of faith. If throughout the scripture, you see that there is this this kind of equation, if you will. Anytime that anyone was healed or any type of miraculous event in the scripture, you see that they first had to have faith, but they had to put that faith into action in order for there to be the healing. I think, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, she reached out and grabbed the hem of his garment. She believed, she had faith that if she could just reach him and touch him, that she would be made whole. Now, if we have anxiety and we have a fear and we turn that inward without any type of reliance upon God, I think that's kind of where we get into the thought process of, am I trusting God or am I trusting myself? I had a very similar issue where I lost Luke at Great Wolf Lodge for about 20 minutes. And I wasn't so much afraid that I wouldn't find him as much as I was afraid if my wife found out that I lost him, that it would be a very, very bad day for all of us. So I mean, let's just for a moment think about, you know, because our body naturally, chemically will induce fight or flight. And how if our body can or our brain can cause us to do certain things in certain situations that aren't necessarily our control, then how could that be wrong?
Exactly. Like, there are just so many things that are beyond our threshold of control. I mean, like I've already alluded to, like our brains are hardwired for survival. Mm-hmm. And that's where fear comes in, because fear will inform us on how to survive in life, you know? And that's why we have those primal reactions in life. We will either fight, we'll flee, or we will freeze in life. It's all about the preservation of our life. That is beyond our control. We are all born into this world, and we learn relationships very quickly. As infants, we start developing attachment styles based on the care, the nurture we received. If we grew up and that was lacking in our infant experience, it's going to create an anxious attachment style. And we will then go into life living as adults who react and respond to the world in an anxious sort of way. There's this fear that people aren't going to come through for me. Those things are beyond our control. But as you grow, like, there's a depth of understanding. Like, you can come to know yourself and you can start to make different choices about how am I going to handle, you know, or surrender this predisposition that I have, if you will.
Yeah. So I already know the answer to this question. So is it ever inappropriate for a Christian to seek counseling for anxiety?
Ever inappropriate? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's ever inappropriate to seek counseling because you're struggling with anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
to say the opposite, like, hey, it's wrong to seek a counselor. I can tell you, like, the one guarantee here is that if you tell a person who's struggling with anxiety that you are being sinful and that it's wrong to go see a counselor, you're not doing anything to help that person alleviate their anxiety. You're actually amplifying their anxiety.
Yeah.
Oh, another thing I want to point out here, Brian, sure, is that we have some polarized thoughts here in our Christian world. You know, we'll have the people who are super conservative, legalistic, you know, it's all about the command, you know. Mm-hmm. And then there are people over here on this end of the spectrum who is like, you pray enough, you believe enough, you're going to have the best life, you know? And both of those are wrong.
Yeah.
You know, it is a setup for massive disappointment when a person who's struggling with anxiety is told, hey, if you're still suffering from anxiety, it's because you haven't prayed enough or you haven't believed enough. You know, it sends the message that there's something inherently wrong with me, or God doesn't love me enough to answer my prayer. You know, the person over here who's talking about, hey, you got to do this all just the right way, you know, or you are sinning. It is really trying to acquire their own salvation in life. And here's the real irony, Brian. The person who is all about the command because they want to get it right in life, you know, right down to their own management of their mental health and anxiety, they're being motivated by fear. Mm-hmm. I have to get it right in my walk with God, otherwise I will receive his wrath and I will receive punishment. Isn't that ironic?
I mean, when you boil it all the way down, it is, because on both ends of the spectrum, you're doing the same thing.
Right.
So what are some practical ways that not just Christians, but anybody could handle anxiety? And I know that's a broad sweeping statement because there are so many different types and levels of anxiety. But I explain, so I say there's worry, which the Bible talks about worry, and then there's anxiety. And where I make that contrast is that when that worry begins to have physical manifestations, it moves into an anxiety. So how would we, just at that point where our worry is turning into anxiety, what are some practical ways that we can help alleviate that?
Yeah, great question. I would first say, like, we have to see ourselves as a whole person. You know, we are a physical being, we are an emotional being, and we are a spiritual being. And sometimes we don't do a very good job at taking care of certain parts of our being. Some people will be super fixated on caring for their body and neglect their emotional and spiritual needs. And there's any combination of that where we just neglect ourselves, you know? And I would say you've got to start doing a good job at caring for yourself, you know? So that's adequate sleep. That's a good diet. That's enough exercise. There's time for you to, like, get into some spiritual practices. You know, it's not about praying enough. It's about making the spiritual connection that you were made to have. And I don't know, like, as far as emotions go, like, people don't know how to talk about their emotions. So you need a friend. There are so many people out there who come into my office who are just lacking in community. Yeah. People need friends. We were made to be relational. And so, like, I don't know, I'm a part of several men's groups. I get together with groups of men. We get around a fire and we're just honest, you know? people need honest spaces that are safe where people can just unload.
Yeah.
Meditation is a great practice. And I know that there are some people that might have some hairs stand up on the back of their neck when you just mentioned meditation, but to meditate on God's word, you know, I love people who are motivated to like read the Bible in a year, but it is another thing to like take a chunk of God's word and meditate over it, over a course of time, to let it sink down into your bones so that it becomes a part of you. This is not news to anyone, but we live in a world that's very loud, is very fast paced. So we lead a very hurried life. And so in order to like bring that anxiety down, it is imperative to slow down. Find a space where you can slow down and have no agenda and just be still and be quiet. And you invite God, hey, I'm feeling anxious right now. Jesus, I invite you into this anxious feeling that I'm feeling right now. What do you have to say about it?
Yeah. And you know, as men, probably the hardest part of all of that isn't necessarily the community, but the honesty of being sure. able to just say, hey, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm feeling. You know, there has been a stigma around mental health and counseling. I believe that some of that stigma is being broken today, and there's been yeah. more acceptance of that within the new generation. But there are still some of those people who are, you know, if you go to counseling, you're going because you're weak, or you're going because you don't have enough faith, all of those things. But as you pointed out, that all just refers back to fear. So how do we find that community? And that's probably the million-dollar question. How do we find that community?
That's a great question, and I wish I had an easy answer to that. There are so many clients who come into my office that are lacking in community. And I start to ask about your resources, your connections. Talk to me about your network. And they have no one. They're not connected to a church. And so it seems pretty bleak for a lot of people. But I think you and I both know, like, probably the best resource we have available to us is the church. It should be the best resource that is available to us. We're like-minded people who are in pursuit of God can come together and be honest and real. But I think you and I both know that even church hasn't been the safest place for that. In fact, people come to church and sometimes receive judgment. Mm-hmm. They don't receive the hospital care that they need for their hurting, bleeding soul. You know, they might just get beat up a little bit more. So I would say as the church, we have to do a better job at recognizing people's mental and emotional health needs and start loving people the way that Jesus loved people. He met them where they were. Brian, I was just thinking also about like Jesus being the embodiment of our humanity. Like he came and emptied himself of his divine nature so that he could be truly sympathetic to us and our human experience. And like, I am pretty sure that Jesus himself experienced anxiety when he was in the garden, just hours away from his destiny to go to the cross. He pled with the Father, like, is there any other way? Like, mm-hmm. Jesus as a human did not want to go to the cross. He did not want to suffer the pain and agony that he knew was before him. And so if Jesus can experience anxiety, I think we can too. Mm-hmm. Jesus, however, models for us, what do we do with that anxiety? We turn it back to God. We remain in a union relationship with the Father, and we talk to him about it consistently. We go to God with our anxieties and ask him, what do I do with this?
Yeah. And you know, I would like to think that there is no emotion that we may deal with today that Christ didn't deal with in the flesh. I mean, even in anger, you know, he was angry when he got to the temple and he turned over their tables, but he did it in a way that wasn't sinful.
That's right.
Our problem is that we want the vengeance. We want them to feel the pain. And we act in a way that isn't so godly all the time. So wrapping this up today, this may be a difficult question without a lot of context, but so we'll just say this is an open question here. How okay. would you approach the subject of you have a new client, they have just crazy anxiety over anything, but I mean it's out of control, and they come into your office and the first thing they say is, my pastor told me anxiety is a sin and I'm not praying enough and that's the reason I have anxiety. What would your comment to them be?
Oh man, I would say, I'm so sorry that's what you were told. And I would empathize with them and I would want to know, like, what has you so stirred up? There may be some great reasons why that person is feeling so anxious.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we are quick to the draw when we make statements like that. We don't have the context. We don't know a person's story. Mm. And I would say, like, you deserve kindness, yeah. Not judgment. You know, I know that the looming question is can you enter into the realm of sinful living by lingering in anxiety? And I would say that's probably true for just about anything, you know? Mm-hmm. While God pronounced, like, our humanity is being very good, we all know that too much of a good thing can sometimes become a not so great thing, you know? So there is a place for anxiety, but we can also venture into a place that is just faithless, mm-hmm. altogether, because we are in bondage to our anxiety. And I would still be very reluctant to say that person is dwelling in sin. I would be more apt to say that person is in bondage. That person is captive and needs to be set free and may not even know that that's a possibility for him.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but if I were anxious and then my pastor came to me and said, well, your anxiety is sin, it's going to make me more anxious.
100%. And depending on the level of anxiety, like that might be the trigger that person needs to do something really irrational. Mm-hmm. You know, the sad reality is, like, lives may actually come to an end abruptly.
Yeah.
Because they went to a person of faith looking for hope and looking for answers and got nothing but an answer that brought them hopelessness.
Well, Robert, thank you for being here with us today and
You've given
us some great insight as to how to approach anxiety and I would agree with you, the bondage of that can be broken, whether it is a supernatural miracle or it's through working with therapy to be healed. I believe that's a great point. this morning for us. So thank you for being here. Is there any way that we could, if we had a listener who wanted to contact you, how could they reach you?
Sure. Just reach out to me at Chan, C-H-A-N, at willowtreecounseling.net.
All right. Of course, I'm Doc Brian. You can find me at thedocbrian.com. Again, we're broadcasting today on LifeWord. You can find all of our Christian content there at lifeword.org. Thank you for being with us today, and we hope to see you soon. Goodbye.